The gift of the word this morning, Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." The word of the Lord. I invite you into a moment of silent reflection. One thing I love about worshiping together on Sunday mornings is it's, even for me, even when I'm on, it's just it's a time to step back and be refreshed in our fellowship and in time with the Lord as we pray to him and hear from his word. And I hope it's the same for you. Too often in our lives, we are just dragged and pulled around with the hustle and bustle. We have endless lists of things to do and people to call and emails to respond to, and the list never ends. And it can be stressful and burdensome. And oftentimes, if you're like me, something that gets put on the end of your priority list is having a time to read and pray and reflect, time spent with the Lord, time in devotion, whether that's reading your Bible in the morning over breakfast or taking time out of your day to pray. And we forget that that is really nourishing to our souls as Christians. And we get so drawn into the busyness of life. We get overworked and stressed out. And it's just kind of where we are. So Sunday morning, we come together inside this sanctuary, in this place where we can gather together, and it's refreshing. But the Lord would have us not only meet with him in this place, although it's special in that we have community together, but he longs for us to know him and to be filled by him. As the psalm said that we said this morning, we are often like parched and weary lands, dry like a desert, and we need a spring of water. It says our whole body longs for God as if we were in a parched and weary land. And here we see a picture of this in another more popular story that Jesus says. This story actually comes right after the story of the Good Samaritan that we looked at last week. And we saw that in that famous parable, Jesus is giving a spiritual lesson. Who is our neighbor? How can we be a neighbor? How can we love our neighbors as ourselves? We remember that we see that a neighbor is anyone whose need that we see, whose need we are in a position to meet. Jesus would have us open our eyes and see the needs around us, see how we can help. See how we can be generous with our resources and our time. And indeed, loving our neighbor is one of the greatest commandments. And it's just like the other one. Love God with your whole being. We see Jesus come on the scene and teach the scribes and the Pharisees the real meaning of these great commandments. And so if in the parable of the Great Samaritan we learn a little bit about loving our neighbor and loving one another, I think in the story following, we see a little bit of application in our lives of loving God with our whole being. That might be something that's easy to say, like I love God, but how do we really do that? How do we engage in relationship with God? How do we love Him with our whole mind and our whole strength and our whole soul, our whole being? I think the answer is seen here in this. It's not a parable, but it's just a spiritual narrative, if you will, that Luke shares. And I think Luke invites us to kind of identify with these characters. If you're like me, you definitely, obviously, right off the bat, identify with Martha, someone who's dragged and pulled around, wishes he had more time. I wish I could pause time for a long time at times and get some more work done or get all that stuff done. And yeah, so I'll admit there are times where I neglect to spend time with Jesus. I neglect prayer. I neglect reading the Word. And I end up feeling dry or weary at the end of the day. Or like I'm burning the candle at both ends. Or I'm down to the last straw. Or however else you can say it. And we see in this story that Jesus invites us with a rebuke, but an invitation to sit at His feet. Loving God with our whole being entails sitting and looking and listening at the feet of Jesus. Martha really is distracted by all the work she has to be done, literally dragged and pulled around. But we like that. We see Martha and we give her a thumbs up because she's being a good guest, a good host. She's providing well for her guest. She's definitely got the gifts of hospitality, which we can maybe feel proud about at times, or we feel good when we have people over and host them well and serve a good meal and the place looks nice. No, those are all good things. But Martha's got her priorities backwards here. And so even in our lives, we read this not as a, quite literally, but because Jesus says to her, Martha, you are worried and anxious about many things, worried and upset. And while Jesus isn't here rebuking anxiety or being upset per se, the spiritual lesson in the story is that the thing that Martha most needed was right in front of her, and she was neglecting to receive that. Surely Jesus speaks on anxiety and being upset and tells us not to worry about anything, and that's easier said than done. But that's another sermon. But Jesus would have us trust in Him and know that every good thing He gives to those who ask. In His Sermon on the Mount, Jesus reminds us of the lilies of the field and how beautiful they are, but yet they pass away. And even Solomon, the king, the richest man and the wisest man that ever lived, wasn't even arrayed like one of those. And He says, don't you know, you have little faith, that everything will be given to you? Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and everything will be given to you. When we set our eyes on Jesus, we have everything we need. Part of our life as Christians can be learning to live in true contentedness with God. But spiritually here, Jesus is saying, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. But really, few things are needed, or mainly only one. Mary has chosen what is better. Or I think a more accurate translation, Mary has chosen the good portion, and that will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen the good portion. Throughout the Psalms and in the Old Testament, we see these writers praising God, calling him their refuge, or their rock, or their portion. We've been meeting in the mornings now at 9 a.m. for a little Bible study before service, and even just this morning we were looking at Psalm 73, and the writer, Asaph, he's troubled, he's anxious, because he's dragged and pulled by the world, and he's seen the rich and famous and the prosperous. He's seen that the rich are getting richer. He's seen the injustice around him. And he's not only upset about that, but he's even envious. He says, I was envious when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Their bodies are sleek and fat. They get everything they want. He was saying, I was envious of them. This was burdensome to me. This wearied my mind. I was anxious about this when I thought about it. Asaph then says, but then I went into the sanctuary of God, and I discerned their end, or the end. He then says a beautiful prayer at the end. He says, nevertheless, I am continually with you. Lord, you hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. Afterward, you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. God is my portion forever. David too writes in the psalm, and he says, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I have no good apart from you. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out. I will not take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion in my cup. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I set the Lord always before me. He's at my right hand. I shall never be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul. You will not let me see corruption. You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. How beautiful. What does it mean to say the Lord is my portion? He is my chosen lot. I think these beautiful psalms are things that Mary might have been saying as she sat there at Jesus' feet. Just sitting at his feet, looking at him, listening to his teaching, reminding herself, delighting in the presence of who she realized was right in front of her, the Lord, Jesus Christ. It's interesting, Jesus doesn't really say much more to Martha. It's just kind of a rebuke. Martha, you're anxious and troubled. But look at Mary, she has chosen the good portion. It will never be taken from her. So we sit, or I guess we're not sitting, but we're standing in Martha's shoes. Maybe we're behind the sink, the sink's running, we've got the whisk in our hands, and the timer's going off, and we're just standing there, and we hear Jesus' rebuke. You're anxious and troubled, but Mary has chosen the good portion. It will never be taken from her. And in the middle of the rebuke, there's an invitation. We are called to love God with our whole being. And praise God, he has made himself known to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, who has served us and loved us with no end, who has died for our sins and given us a path to eternal life. We worship God three in one. And I think a way that we can practically live out our love for God is by sitting at Jesus' feet. This can look several ways. We can it includes spending time in prayer. Even the insert this week, I invite you to keep this, hang on to it during your week. Use the outline prayers every day, and just work through that as a way to pray. The song lyrics, sing them in your head, pray them back to the Lord. Use these resources and others as a way of interacting with God, praying and singing His praise. Spend time in His Word. Reflect on the Psalms, or reflect, read through different genres of Scripture. It says that she says, Jesus, that Mary was sitting and listening to the Lord's teaching. And we know that in the Scriptures, God has revealed Himself to us in His inspired Word, something that we can interact with and listen to His teaching. So the lesson for us, in the middle of our hectic lives, when we are busy and drawn and pulled, may we have our eyes open and our ears open. May we hear the Lord's rebuke when we are being so distracted and forgetting what our portion is, the one good thing, where our true source of strength lies, where our true fulfillment comes from. May we make time to just sit and to look and to listen. Jesus invites us by pointing towards Mary. She has chosen the good portion, which will never be taken away from her. Amen.